This video deals more precisely with the securities and the derivatives from both the stock and the bond market. First, the stock market. Small companies generally start developing an idea using private money and sometimes a limited amount of venture capital. If they want to grow more quickly, they may consider going to the stock market. Investment banks then assist them in the initial public offering, where the company value is divided up into shares. Investment banks in fact try to find a fair value based on the present earnings and the future potential and try to find buyers. These investors pay an amount of cash to become co-owners and acquire part of the control and the future earning of that company. Of course, the original owners sell part of their business, but at the same time realize a capital gain, which usually makes them millionaires. The company can use the new cash which has been generated to grow more quickly than what would be possible simply by reinvesting the earnings. After a rapid and systematic evolution, depending on how well the investment bank aligned the price with the market expectations, the price starts a dominantly random evolution, which is in agreement with Fermat's efficient market hypothesis. In fact, we saw in the previous chapter that the price of a share can be simulated by adding small increments. In fact, it's not possible to calculate the market value or a spot price, but it's possible to calculate the expected value, an expectation, based on statistical analysis of the past. This statistical analysis shows a significant difference between the stock and the bond market. The stock market tends to have the increments log-normally distributed. That means a share which is worth 10 euros today has equal chances to double and divide by 2 its value in an equal amount of time. That means to fall down to 5 and rise to 20 has about equal chances in a certain amount of time. On the bond market, on the contrary, the increments are more normally distributed. That means an interest rate currently at 10% has about equal chance to add 5% as to subtract 5%. That means in the end there is about equal chance in a certain amount of time to rise to 15 or to fall down to 5. The reason behind this difference in the increment is essentially the bankruptcy law, which makes it impossible for share prices to become negative, whereas negative interest rates are in principle possible and have even been observed in Switzerland in the late 60s. They are nearly a reality again now at the turn of the century, with extremely low interest rates in Japan and in the United States. Now, I let you turn to the syllabus and try to carry out a certain number of virtual market experiments, trying to understand more precisely what is the difference between log and normal distribution of price increments. If you look at the position of the red dot, which corresponds to the current price, which is simulated in the applet, you will see that this price is located between 0 on the very left and 200 on the very right. And it starts around 100. Try to compare a simulation obtained by pressing start using a log normal distribution of the increments with a value of kappa equals to 1 and a normal distribution obtained for kappa equals to 0. In fact, you should see very little difference. To see what happens better, you have to increase the volatility to unrealistic values. Take a value of 100. This corresponds to 10,000% a year. Clearly unrealistic. Now take one step at a time and observe how the increments tend to be larger on the right of the applet than on the left, using a log normal distribution, whereas they're about equal size using a normal distribution. Also try to see if the price can ever become negative. And you might even increase the volatility further and increase also the time step to see that you can create negative prices even with log normal distribution of increments. This, however, is a numerical artifact and should never happen in reality. So you should remember that using too large a volatility and too large a time step can create problems in your simulations. If you now look at the parameters which are used to parametrize this evolution, you first have the runtime equals to 1 year. The time step is equal to 0.00397, which is in fact 1 divided by 252 trading days in a year. The drift is chosen somewhere between 0 and 0.1 and corresponds to something in the range 0 to 10% a year. The volatility is also between 0 and 1 and corresponds to 0 to 100% a year. The simulation domain is set by the mesh left equal to 0, which is the zero value of the underlying share, and mesh length equals to 200, which corresponds to the size of the domain. The number of walkers corresponds to the number of prices you want to keep in the simulation, and the initial position for that price is set by a Gaussian on the top of the applet with a strike price equal to 100 corresponding to the position of that Gaussian. Using a very small value of shape 1 as a parameter allows you to initialize what is called a Dirac function in mathematics, essentially one and the same price to start with. Let me do here a small parenthesis destined more for the quantitative people among you. The price increments can be modeled using a stochastic differential equation. And in fact, a normal distribution of the price increment is obtained by choosing a random number using a normal distribution with zero mean and a variance equal to the volatility observed on the market. A log normal distribution will be generated by adding increments from a normal distribution and scaling them further by the present value of the share. You can also obtain values in between by scaling the normal random number by s to the power kappa, where kappa is this number which ranges between 0 for a normal distribution and 1 for a log normal distribution. So you can have any behavior in between the two. How can you implement now a log normal walk using a Java applet? In fact, it is very simple. Look at the syllabus, how a simple loop can be used to describe the particle position, which corresponds to the price, with an index ranging from 0 to number of particles minus 1. In fact, the main statement shows that the particle position indexed with the number j is incremented with the incremental operator plus equal by a value equals to the right-hand side of this expression. This right-hand side is using the initial or the current particle position j and scales it further by a systematic drift mu times the time step plus a random number chosen with a Gaussian distribution scaled further by the volatility sigma and scaled by the square root of the time step. This for a log normal walk. How would you obtain a normal walk? Well, that's quite simple. You would simply replace the second particle position, which occurs just after the incremental operator plus equal, by a normalizing constant. In practice, the observations show that for time spans very much shorter than 1 month, very rare events occur more frequently than what would be allowed by a normal distribution. In fact, the market statistics show that the distribution is leptokurtotic. Figure 1 compares a Gaussian distribution in a logarithmic plot, which appears like an inverted parabola, with a Levi-Stable distribution which has wings and accounts for very rare events. If you look at these two, then the measurements obtained from the market using time spans as short as 1 minute show that the measurements somewhere fall between, but tend to reproduce more the Levi-Stable distribution. Now, if you did not understand all these derivations destined for the quants, don't worry, they were not really for you. And if you did understand, don't worry neither, there will be more of such things in the next chapter. To account for the risk, the investment risk you take by investing on the stock market, you will expect a certain premium, a return extra to what you can get anyway at a risk-free rate from the central bank. To account for that, the share value is usually described with a systematic drift in the range 8 or somewhere between 5 and 8%. On the contrary, if the company pays out dividends, then this will reduce the total value of the company, and therefore you will have to subtract the dividend yield, which is somewhere between 1 and 4% per annum. Try now to reproduce in the VMarket applet what are essentially the market expectations. Choose a value of the drift equal to 0.1 and the volatility equals to 0.5, which is typical for the Nasdaq. You can choose to click in the plot area to measure the value of a spot price and look at the button of your browser to measure these coordinates. Now increase the number of walkers to something like 10,000 possible realizations of the market. The black line, if you press start, the black line will accumulate the probability density of finding a certain price in a certain interval. So you will count the number of prices which land in a certain number of bins created by a number of mesh points chosen in the applet run parameters. If you have as many as 10,000 random walkers, you may not want to see them all the time, and you can switch from random walk with a star at the top of the applet to random walk without a star and plot only the distribution probability density. Now try to see what is the difference after 1 year between a log normal distribution of the increments and a normal distribution of the increments. In fact, after 1 year, you will see that the probability density is symmetric with a finite probability near zero in the normal case, whereas it is asymmetric and has a zero probability for a zero share value near zero. Quants may, in addition, try to estimate what is the probability of having a price fall during that year. You can do that by dividing the final area of the probability density in a certain price range and divide that by the total initial area of the probability density. You can do that by computing the area below the black line. You can do that with a trapezoidal rule by summing up all the values measuring the probability density and adding only half of these values for the endpoints. This whole sum, you can multiply by the interval size to obtain the final area. Finally, market indices can be created by combining the most valuable companies in a certain market. This creates the so-called Dow Jones Industrial Average, the NASDAQ Top 100, and a symbol called QQQ, the FTSE 100 in the UK, or the Nikkei 225 in Japan, and combines the blue chips, the largest companies of a market, to measure essentially the market performance. And these top companies are constantly updated in time, so that if one company becomes smaller, it will be exchanged with another one to always reflect what are the top biggest companies currently in the market. Such indices are sometimes used as a reference by the portfolio managers, but they're very hard to beat. In fact, a recent study by Foster and Kaplan showed that using the initial publication of Forbes magazine in 1917 of the top 100 companies, and comparing this later in 1987, out of these 100 companies, 61 ceased to exist. 18 only are still in the top 100, and in fact only two, specifically General Electric and Kodak, outperformed the market index. Note that the global market index growth using these criteria was around 7.5% over 70 years, which is somewhat lower than the 11% sometimes advertised by the portfolio managers.